just a quick review on the fact that we got into the Word as far as the promise of the Father. And the promise was because he was saying, oh, that there was a heart in them that they would serve me and do my commands so it could go well with them and their children forever. So then he says, okay, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I'm going to put my spirit in you. And then you will obey my commands. You will obey. You'll walk in my ways and obey my statutes, I believe is the way it says it. And so then, you know, even in Joel, we had read the week before of the prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so then we saw last week the promise and why. And then on the day of Pentecost, all that was fulfilled when he sent Holy Spirit to come and not just be with them like Jesus was, but to live inside of them. Are y'all okay with your necks all turned like that? You okay? They're young. Oh, I'd be turning my chair around. Okay. All right. So this week, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're not like calling out people for tests or anything like that. Just asking a few questions. Are tongues for everyone? Yes. We saw in Acts chapter 2 that they're for, Acts chapter 2 verse 39. And you know, listen, in doing this, I do, for the purpose of teaching and breaking it down for us, I do have to jump back and forth to scriptures, okay? So if you need to jot them down or if you need to just listen and then listen online because he's recording it. Either way, whichever way you need to do it. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. He said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. As many as are saved have the promise available to them. And the promise is also, when you receive the Holy Spirit, the tongues comes with it. It's the overflow of being baptized into the Holy Spirit. It's the overflow. Mark chapter 16 also says, this was Jesus before he left. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so even Jesus was saying this would happen as well. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I wish you all did. So second question, have tongues ceased? We read that as well last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
No, they will not cease to serve the
kingdom of God. There you go. Verse 8. Excuse me, I need to get into the right chapter here because that was not looking like it at all. 1 Corinthians 13. It actually works better if you get in the right book. And then you can actually find the verse. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Then when? When that which is perfect has come. So let's just stop just for the answer on this, just for a second. He's saying knowledge, tongues, prophecy are going to cease when that which is perfect has come. That which is perfect is when we see him face to face. We're talking about seeing the Lord face to face. When he returns to us, when he returns to get us, then we will see him face to face. We will know him. We'll see if we will see him as he sees us and know him as he knows us. Until that time, though, they are needed. So until the Lord comes back, these things are needed. Okay? Does everybody speak in tongues? And a lot of people use this scripture. You're not incorrect. You're not incorrect. You're not incorrect. You're not incorrect. Paul is referring to a scripture that a lot of people use to say, see, not everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. We just said that tongues were for everyone, right? Because the Holy Spirit's for everyone. But he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 30, he's talking about ministry use of tongues. And we're going to talk about that more, so don't get tripped up on that. But 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And what he's talking about here continually through this is ministry. You see that? Can you see that? Okay. And the gifts of the Spirit, when he's talking about, right there he's talking about really the gifts of the Spirit, and when he's talking about that, that's as the Spirit wills. And so, in those particular places, no, not everybody's going to stand up and give a message in tongues. Not everybody's going to be doing that. But those of us who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who is the gift, the promise of the Father, he is a gift to us, we can speak in tongues, okay? Tongues are for your own personal prayer language as well, okay? We're going to get into that as well tonight. Paul goes in and out between 1 Corinthians 12 through 1 Corinthians 14. He goes in and out between ministry use and between personal use of tongues. He talks about ministry and then personal so much, and he goes in and out of it that if you're not careful to keep things in context, you can actually get mixed up, right? Some of you may have read it and thought, I don't know what he's talking about here. It's confusing. But so it's so important that we keep everything in context. So before we get started in where I'm going with this tonight, let's pray and let's ask Holy Spirit to come and open our eyes and help us see. You also are the revealer of truth, Holy Spirit. We just welcome you right now to have your way. I lean to you to teach through me what you once said to this people. But I also ask you to help them. Reveal truth to them. Reveal this to them so that they understand. I have teenagers in here to more mature, seasoned Christians in here. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to help them. Holy Spirit, open their eyes and help them see and understand what you would have them to understand tonight. The same thing in the class out there with Carrie, with the younger ones. Help those children, open their eyes, help them see. Reveal truth to them tonight as she shares the word with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're talking about, the last thing I said was that tongues are also for your personal prayer language as well as for ministry. And I want to get into that tonight, just for just this little bit of time that we have together, okay? I don't want to go real fast. If I don't get to finish it, we'll pick up next week. I don't want to go real fast. I try to talk fast and hard because I know I'm on a limited time, but I'm not. Next time we meet, I can talk some more. So, okay? So, there are four different kinds of tongues, or you could say four different uses of tongues, okay? And two of them are used for ministry, and two of them are for personal use. And let's share that tonight. And I really want you to understand. I remember when I received, I think I told you this, when I received the baptism of Holy Spirit, and I was so excited, I shared it with my boss at work because, you know, he talked like he was a Christian, and I just thought, oh, well, he will just be so excited for me. And he wasn't. He didn't agree, and he didn't believe in it at all. And so, But it was too late. You know, it's too late. Once you've received, it's too late. You can't talk me out of it now, buddy. And so, but now he really based it on this first one that I'm going to share with you tonight. And that is tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Go back with me to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Like I said, when you're trying to break it down and teach a subject, you just got to roll back and forth. It's the only way I know to do it. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. King James says, divers tongues or diverse tongues, which actually means different tongues. Okay? They began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They weren't doing this on their own. This was as the Holy Ghost was giving them utterance to speak. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone was hearing them speak in his own language. And it goes on, all these different languages, they're saying, you know, how is it we can hear each in our own language in which we were born? So it goes on down to verse 11. It names all these different places where they were from. Because remember, they were there for the day of Pentecost. Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were perplexed. They were amazed. Who are these Galileans that they could do this? These, when you're thinking of the Galileans, they're actually thinking of who are these unlearned men that they're out here sharing all these wonderful works in all these different languages. It was a sign to them. 1 Corinthians 14:22. I'm just going to flip there really, really quick. It says in verse 22, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. And it goes on and says, prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. We'll talk about that more later. But this is saying that this is a sign not to those who believe, but to those who are not believers. This word talking about different tongues, diverse tongues, this is a language. It's a tongue that these guys did not know, but it is a known language. But they didn't know the language. Okay? Does that make sense? Like if all of a sudden you stood up and in by the unction of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and it was a message in Chinese, you don't know the Chinese language and you began speaking a message in Chinese about the wonderful works of God or the salvation message of God. And we had people in the back of the church who are from China, who know Chinese. And maybe they don't know English, but you just perfectly spoke to them the message of salvation. Those things have happened many, many, many times. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They heard the wonderful works of God spoken in their own language. So it's the Holy Spirit speaking a known language, but not known to you. I mean, it wouldn't be tongues if you knew Spanish and you just got up and spoke a message in Spanish to those who were Hispanic. I mean, that wouldn't be because of tongues coming on you necessarily, you know, because it's a mess. It's a language you know. It wouldn't be diverse tongues anyway. So it was a sign to them. It also spoke something to them. What I was sharing a minute ago about the Chinese, that was something that actually happened with John G. Lake as he was traveling around Europe. He got out at a train station and all of a sudden the unction of the Holy Ghost came on him. And I mean, he just began right there, almost doubled over, began speaking in tongues. Well, over sitting on a bench waiting for another train were two girls. And I believe they might have been Chinese. Do you remember the story if they were Chinese or not? I can't remember. I think they were Chinese, but anyway, whatever. They were certainly Asian women. And one of them could speak English and the other could not. He just stood right there and gave the message of salvation to both of them. And the girl that could speak English shared with him what had just happened. They were so just gotten away with and ready to give their hearts to the Lord right there. And gave their heart right there to the Lord at the train station. Because the Holy Ghost came on him to give a message of salvation to them. And the one who didn't know a word of English heard it clearly. Isn't that amazing? That's the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit knows obviously things we don't know. And he wants to be able to use us how he chooses when he wills. When he wants to, right? All right. Have you got diverse tongues? Different tongues. You got that one? Okay, the second one, and that's for ministry use, okay? That was for ministry use. The second one for ministry use is tongues for interpretation. Tongues with, along with interpretation of tongues. And I'm going to talk, are y'all okay, girls? Y'all cool? Y'all cool over here? All right, everybody following me okay? Okay. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. My heart really has stirred for you younger girls who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but to be able to understand this wonderful gift, who you have. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Verse 3 through 5. And as time goes, as weeks go by, you're going to understand more. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater, and it doesn't mean you're a greater person. It just means he's basically saying he feels like this is better than he who speaks with tongues. Why would that be? Because he who speaks with tongues is edifying himself. But he who's prophesying is edifying the whole church. So he's saying that's better. Unless he interprets so that the church can receive edification. Okay? So if you give a message in the church or a group of people, and you give a message in tongues, and someone gives the Holy, but it's by the Holy Spirit, comes on you. You give a message in tongues, and then someone else, by the Holy Spirit, gives interpretation of those tongues. That actually edifies the church or the group that you're speaking to. The same thing happens, though, if you just prophesy. It's kind of like 2 nickels equal 10 cents. A dime also equals 10 cents. So it's like tongues with interpretation equals edification for the church. So does just simply prophecy. They both equal. So why would God do it? Why wouldn't he just give prophecy? Why would he do tongues and interpretation of tongues? Why would he do it like that? Well, first of all, he's God and he can do it any way he wants to. That's my theory on stuff. I mean, he's God, right? But the other thing is, honestly, in here, for years, early along, we heard more messages in tongues and interpretation, didn't we? Now we hear really more words of prophecy. But the thing is you can get so familiar with that, you don't really realize that's God talking because, you know, she just likes to encourage you anyway, or he just likes to, you know, encourage everybody in the church. And so you can get so familiar with that that you really don't realize, wait, God is speaking to us. And I know this because a lot of times we don't act like God just spoke. Are you hearing me? A lot of times we really don't realize that was God talking to us through Linda or whoever else. And so oftentimes, he'll use tongues and interpretation of tongues to get your attention. To bring you back to the place, the simple place of getting hold of your attention. A message in tongues, and now I'm waiting, and somebody gets up and interprets the tongues, and it's like, oh snap, God's talking. Are y'all with me? Can you understand the difference in this now? Now, I want to throw this in here because, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that's giving the message. It's not just you talking in tongues. It's by the unction of the Holy Spirit, okay? Same with the interpretation. It's going to be, oh, I think God's probably talking about this. No. It's going to be by the unction of the Holy Spirit also, all right? It's not translation. I need you to understand that, because how many times have we heard a message in tongues that was this long and they got up and said something like, God said he just loves every one of y'all. And you're like, no, he said a whole lot more than that. Those tongues lasted a long time. How many of you felt that way before? Or somebody gave a little short message in tongues, and then somebody else comes along to interpret, and it's a long message, and you're like, no, God didn't say all that. How many times have you felt that way? Sure, we have. Maybe the kids haven't picked up on that yet, but yeah, we've all felt that way. It's not translation. Translation is word for word. It's called interpretation. And interpretation renders the meaning. Big difference, right? It renders the meaning. And the whole purpose of tongues and interpretation of tongues really is because God wants to speak to the group of people or a person or a church group or something like that. He's wanting to do that. Now, he could have done it just by prophecy because it meant the same thing. All right? So those two uses of tongues, diverse tongues, and tongues for interpretation, are both for ministry use. You know, when you're like the second to tongues interpretation is really to minister to people. Same thing happens with diverse tongues. So the third one is for intercession, and it is for personal use. But honestly, in studying this out, it can also be used for ministry use. But it is also for personal use. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And, you know, like I said, if y'all are trying to make notes, I can read it to you. Except when I get tongue-tied, and then I'll get it straight. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Let's stop right there. He didn't say, you don't know you're supposed to pray. He also didn't say, you don't know how to pray. What he said was, he helps us in our weakness because we don't always know what we should pray for as we ought. How many times have you had a situation, you know it needs prayer, but you're not really sure how to pray about it? How many times have you said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this. I'm not even sure what to pray in this situation. I know I need to pray. I just don't know how to pray about this. So he goes on and says, the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Kenneth Hagin would say studying that out, it actually meant cannot be uttered in articulate speech because it's tongues. It's a heavenly language. It's a heavenly language. And he's saying the Holy Spirit is going to take hold together and pray through you, intercede through you with groanings that can't be uttered in articulate speech. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's talk about that for just a few minutes. We are limited in our own understanding and our finite knowledge. We're just limited in what we know. You know, you can know all the facts about a situation and still not know all the details that God knows about the situation. The Holy Spirit searches the heart of the Lord. He knows every detail. He knows exactly how to pray. Exactly how. He knows fully the whole picture, all the details of it, and he helps us by making intercession through us. And it goes on and says, he's helping us to pray the perfect will of God. How many times in a situation would you be happy to pray the exact perfect will of God? You should be praying in the Holy Ghost then. If you want to pray the perfect will of God, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, then why don't we pray in the Holy Ghost all the time? 1 Corinthians 14. See, I got an answer for all your questions. Maybe. If I don't, the Lord does. Or Jonathan might. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. There are times when you need to pray things out with your own voice and your own language. There are times you need to give voice to things. You know, when you're taking authority, your voice needs to come out. Your words of your mouth need to come out when you're dealing with taking authority over the enemy. When you need to stand on God's word, you need to pray out with your understanding and your own voice. When you need to declare things out of your mouth, you need to do it with your own tongue, right? When you're speaking out by faith, do that with your own voice. That's praying with my understanding. But he's also saying, and I pray in the Spirit. I pray with the Spirit also. Now, there are times when I'm praying in the Spirit and there's a deeper unction that comes on me to go like deeper. And I may be praying for someone that I didn't, the whole thing could be really that God's having me go deeper. And this is now the Holy Ghost coming on me to pray in tongues even deeper and further. And I could be praying for my child. I could be praying for somebody in Africa or in South America. I could be praying for someone here in the United States. I could be praying any different situation. And I don't even have to already be praying when this happens. I could actually be cleaning the house. I've had that happen. I could be riding down the road and I feel this unction to pray. And I go ahead and start praying in the Holy Ghost. What's happening is the Holy Ghost is prompting me and taking a hold together to help me pray in the Holy Ghost, in my heavenly language, for somebody, a situation I don't know anything about. I may never know. He may tell me, he may not. I mean, that's up to him. And so when that happens and the Holy Spirit comes on me, now that is for ministry use. So yes, I can pray for my own personal praying in the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit takes hold of me and helps me pray even further oftentimes. And that's for ministry use. And that's awesome when that happens. See, now, except for diverse tongues, all of these other places that I've been talking, uses I've been talking about, they're all a heavenly language. They're not a known language. The only one of these that's a known language is diverse tongues that I talked about first, the different tongues. Now, it's a language I'm sure understandable by God only, because it says you're praying mysteries to Him. But it's not a language that we understand, okay? God's given us this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit and also the ability to pray the mysteries of God and to be able to pray the perfect will of God in situations, which is what kind of a blessing is that for us? And even when we're praying in tongues, even when we're saying, Lord, for our nation, I have no idea how to pray about this. It's a mess. I don't even know how to pray. You can begin to pray in tongues and you have no idea what you may be unraveling in the Spirit. You have no idea what God may be doing in the Spirit as you're praying in tongues. And so what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that the Lord has given us by the Holy Spirit, by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, the fourth one is your personal prayer language, which really is your communion with God, part of your communion with God. It's not your only communion with God, but it's part of your communion with God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God." No one understands him. If I start speaking in a tongue right now, y'all are not going to understand me. But God's going to understand me. I'm going to be speaking to God. It says, no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. See, as I'm praying in the Spirit, God is hearing me, and mysteries and things that I have no clue about, and probably nobody in this room would have a clue about, God is unraveling those things because I'm speaking mysteries to God. Also, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who's prophesying is edifying the whole church. But if I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm edifying myself. Nobody else is understanding me. And you know, that is something that really bothers people who come into a church service and we've got all these Holy Ghost filled believers in here, especially during worship or prayer, and we just all begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot during worship. I do. And when someone's praying, I'll be praying in the Holy Ghost. And so other people who haven't had this teaching will say, well, they're just totally out of order. They're praying in tongues in here and no one's giving interpretation. And they're just totally out of order. Well, if I stood up before y'all and gave a message in tongues and no one was interpreting, or I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to use me to interpret, because if no one else does, you're responsible to listen to God. Am I wrong? It's absolutely right. You're responsible. So if I stood up to give a message in tongues, then I believe God for somebody to interpret, or for him to give it to me to interpret. But just me praying in tongues, or as I'm worshiping, I may be worshiping in tongues. That's personal. That's personal. But don't let it offend you, right? People shouldn't let it offend them. Oh, you're just out of order. I'm not going back to that church. They're out of order. I've heard some of that before. I have heard that before. Have you? I've heard it before. F-I. What I say, F-I? If I edify. Edify. Okay, I'm sorry. Edify. Edify is to build up someone. And really, if we look up prophecy, it edifies, it builds up, it encourages, and it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, I'm sorry. Thank you, Christy. Everybody got that okay? I'm sorry. And some of this we'll get into more. No, I'm glad you said that. And I wasn't trying to call y'all out. It's okay. Don't anybody feel weird or awkward if you feel like you've got to ask a question or don't understand something. For real. Don't feel awkward. I don't mind it at all. And nobody else in here will either. If they do, I'll spank them. Okay? Oh, gosh, that was online. I mean, that was wonderful. Wonderful. That just went right on out there. Yeah. I'm not always the one for all that stuff, huh? Okay. Huh? He has to edit me a lot. Yeah, he has to edit me a lot. I'm sorry, Chris. All right. Now, what I'm going to do, they're just about through, and we will have had a good full class. I'm going to wait and share next week, why do we personally need to pray in tongues? Us personally, for our own personal lives. Because I said that's the last one. Number 4 is your personal prayer language, communion with God, and then what the scriptures I just read. Why do we need to do that, though? And I'm going to share with you next week, not next week, that's Life Group week. The following week, I'm going to share with you a bunch of reasons why we pray in the Holy Ghost. But I want to give you opportunity if you've got questions. Or if there's something you didn't quite get, or even a scripture you missed or something like that. If there's something that you have questions about. I want to help you. I want our young adults to be solid in this. I want our teens to be solid in this. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. All the wonderful things that you have from this wonderful gift from God. But I also want you, I want people to be able to understand the truth. So you have this foundation under you and you can't be swayed. Like for me with my boss that day, I was solid because I'd already experienced it and I just thought, well, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. But for some people, that could have really been a shake. You know, I told you for my mama, it was really shaking for her when she heard her pastor speaking in tongues, and it sounded like some of the same syllables that when she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that messed her up. I mean, she just shut her down for many years because of that. Instead of asking questions or having, I don't know if she didn't feel like she could, or she was so upset she thought she copied him. She was so upset. She was like, I'm so sorry, God. Oh, forgive me, Lord. And she just beat herself up. And so, there's so many things that questions that people can have, and I want you to be solid in your heart over things. And you can't be talked out of things so easily. And I want you to enjoy your fellowship time with the Holy Spirit. I do want you to. I pray in the Holy Spirit in crazy times, places, you know, I may going down the road in the car. I do in the shower. I just do, you know. I could at any other random time too. I've been known to. But it's really important for us to begin to just speak out that language. Didn't I tell y'all the other week my little syllable of da 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 da? And me feeling so embarrassed over that. And I was certain that's how Kelly learned da-da so quickly and easily, because she was copying me all the time. And she'd be right, we'd be riding down the road, and she'd be da-da-da-da-da. And no lie, I'd say, what are you praying about now? I did. I said, what are you praying? She's a baby in a little car seat. But I would feel silly, but I'm telling you, as I continued to do that, more syllables, I guess you would call them syllables, would come. Especially just even in worship or in prayer time, more syllables would come as I would just give way. All right? They're going outside, so we've got to stop. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all these people in here. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would become so real to them, living inside of them, that you would become so real inside of them. And I just pray that this would not be something that they felt shy about or hesitant about, but they would be so thankful for the gift of God that was given to them. And that they would enjoy this wonderful gift you've given. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.